It's time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for joining us here again today. This program comes to you from the Church of God at God's Acres, 675 North Cedar Street, here in Newark, Ohio. Before Brother Dishman brings today's message to you, I'd like to ask you a serious question. Have you ever thought of the terrible tragedy that it would be to be lost? To come down to the end of life's journey and find that you have been rejected by the Lord. Friend, God gives every one of us time and opportunity to prepare for eternity. Hopefully, as today's message goes forth, you will seriously consider your eternal destiny. So many have neglected this important matter. Here now is our brother Larry Dishman to bring us the good news from a far country.
I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with us over to Luke, the 14th chapter. I'm going to be reading in Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. He sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent begin to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes in the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. What is your excuse for not being saved? I remember when I had excuses why I couldn't get saved that night. Many times I said under conviction, the Holy Spirit dealing with me. All the time that the Holy Spirit was dealing with me, the devil was running thoughts through my mind why I needed to wait just a little longer. In fact, the very night I got saved, those thoughts were still running through my mind. And I realized, you know what this is? This is the devil. He just keeps on, keeps on. He's never going to turn loose of me. So I just went ahead, in spite of those thoughts, and gave my heart to the Lord. What's your excuse for not being saved? Could it be that you don't think you can live it? Well, I'm kind of glad you feel that way. Because none can live it within his own strength, or within her own strength. It takes God to live this Christian life. Jude, verse 24, now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The Bible lets us know in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I like what the Apostle Paul said along these lines when he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My friend, here's the secret of living for God. Paul talked about in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So if you'll get saved and you will allow God, from the moment of conversion, He will perform that work in your heart and life. My problem was, before I got saved, I feared the burdens, which were really no burden to the true disciple of Christ. The world looks on at the way Christians live and says, oh, it would be so burdensome to have to live like that. I don't want to live like that. But what they don't understand, when you get saved, His commandments are not grievous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I found it so. Hey, you know what? I'm having fun. Amen. I like the Christian life. I really love the Christian life. I'm convinced it's the best life to live. What's your excuse for not being saved? Is it because you're waiting till you get better? Is that your excuse? I'm saying, well, I've got some situations I got to get worked out. No, you don't have to work out those situations. You come to God the way you are and turn it over to Him. Let Him work things out for you. Sin never gets better. The devil will see to it that you never get good enough to start. I watch people do this. They say, well, I'm waiting until things get worked out. I've got some situations. There's some things I can't get saved until I get all this worked out. And what does the devil do? Just get them in a worse mess. And it looks darker and darker the longer they go on. So the thing to do is, before things get any worse, just come to God. Someone said it can't get any worse. Yes, it can. It can get worse. You know what I found out? A person does not have to improve themselves one bit for God to save them. You come to God just like you are. The longer you continue in sin, could be the harder it will be to break from sin. Friend, it takes God to regenerate our hearts. He doesn't ask us to change ourselves. He asked us to come to Him the way we are, and thank God He does the changing. Amen. The time to plow ground's when the ground is soft, not frozen by the winter temperatures. The time to yield your heart to God is before your heart gets any harder. Oh, I beg of you, friend, I plead with you, don't wait until your soul becomes deafened to the tender call of God's Spirit. That can happen. It does happen. What's your excuse for not getting saved? Don't allow someone to stand between you and your salvation. Friend, if you don't decide to obey God and become a Christian, you're going to be in eternity with the very ones that kept you from getting saved. Ananias and Sapphira, they were hypocrites. So wonder why Peter just said, well, I'm not going to go to church because they're hypocrites. No, he wasn't responsible for them. And God took care of the hypocrites, doesn't He? Yes, He does. Don't focus, friend, on the hypocrites. You know what? Get your eyes on some folks that live right. I'm convinced there's a host of people that live right. Live clean, live holy, live righteously. If you want to look at somebody, look at them, and don't look at the ones that's not living right. The summer's ended. The harvest is past. We're still not saved. What's your excuse for not being saved? Some people, it's unbelief. I don't think God will save me. I don't think I can be saved right now. Well, that's a lie of the devil. What God does for one, thank God He'll do for others. Peter said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. If God wouldn't save you, but He saved the next fellow, that means God is a respecter of persons. Someone said, you really think I'd get saved? I know you can. Jeremiah 29:13 says, ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search me with all your heart. You can find God if you'll search for Him with all your heart. If you mean business with God, God will mean business with you. Amen. 1 Chronicles 28:9, if thou seek Him, He will be found. If thou forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. See, the fact of the matter is, man's sin's already paid for. God's wrath has already turned away from any sinner who will truly meet the conditions of salvation, repentance, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it so clear. He said in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that includes you. You can put your name right there, whosoever. If I call upon the name of the Lord, he said he'd save me. That's a promise in the Word of God. John 6:37, "All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." That's good news for the sinner. What's your excuse for not being saved? You know what some folks' excuse is? They said, "I got plenty of time." Oh no, friend, you don't know that you got plenty of time. I don't think no sinner has plenty of time. Oh friend, your life is fleeting. No wonder James said in the 4th chapter, verse number 14, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" He said, "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth." The Bible says in 1 John 2:17, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever." What's your excuse for not being saved? Somebody said, "Well, I'm kind of concerned what my friends are going to think. And I don't know how my wife's going to take this. I don't know how my husband would take this. I'm just kind of concerned about the people on the job. I'm kind of concerned about the people I run with. And so I don't want to get saved. I'm concerned." You gonna let bad company keep you from getting saved? Has some godless person obtained a fatal influence over you? Might be more than one person. I know. Sometimes as people come to church, they're considering getting saved. They're almost ready to get saved. And then all of a sudden, the devil puts in their mind, some godless person, what's their reactions going to be? I would have to cut his acquaintance. I'd have to cut her acquaintance. No, you just get right and live for God. Friend, you don't have to tell people stay away. You'll start loving things you never loved and hating the things you once hated. They say, "Boy, he's still a good guy. He's really, they're wonderful, but we just don't have much in common anymore. I'm glad I don't have things in common with the world anymore." Amen. Thank God for salvation. I wonder how many people failed to get saved because of ridicule. Don't let somebody laugh you or sneer you out of heaven. If your friends or your associates, even your wife, even your husband, are hindering you from getting right with God, I'm telling you, friend, it'd be better to sacrifice that relationship than to sacrifice your home in heaven. Nothing's more important. I don't suggest people leaving their companions, but there's nothing more important. Not even a marriage is not as important as you being saved. People hinder folks sometimes. That's why Galatians said in the 5th chapter, verse number 7, "Ye did run well." You're doing good. "Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" He didn't say what hindered you. He said who hindered you. Don't let nobody hinder you. You know what you need to understand? What God thinks is far more important than what anybody in this world thinks. 100 years from now, it will make little difference what people thought, but it'll still matter what God thinks. So that's what you need to think about. What's your excuse for not getting saved? Some people told me they was too busy. That excuse won't stand on the judgment day. 1 Corinthians 7:29, "But this I say, brethren, time is short." Time will soon be over. Time is short. "It remaineth that both they that have wives and they that have none
time's short.
He said in Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. You know what the devil's trying to do, you sin friend? Cheat you out of your soul. And if the devil can cheat you out of your time, he can cheat you out of your soul. And that's why the Bible says in Isaiah, the first chapter, in verse 8, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What's your excuse for not being saved? You know why some folks wouldn't get saved? Because something happened in their past life and they're bitter over it. Some folks are bitter over the way their parents treat them. There's a lot of things can happen that cause a person to get bitter. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. You know what? That root of bitterness will defile you even if you're a Christian. If you allow this root of bitterness to grow, it can defile you. Isaiah said in the 38th chapter, verse number 17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou in love to my soul hast delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. What's your excuse for not being saved? Someone said it's not the right time. Yes, it's the right time. What the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Right now is the accepted time. He not only said today, that means 24 hours, but he went on to say, now is the accepted time. That's a lie of the devil to make you think this is not the right time. That's probably what Felix thought. It's not the right time. But I never read where Felix said, okay now, Paul, it's the right time now. If you're putting off getting saved, Satan has deceived you in thinking that you can be saved anytime you want to, but you can't. You can't be saved anytime you want to. You got to be saved while God is dealing with your heart, while he's speaking to you. If the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you about your salvation, that means this is the time. Because he may never deal with you again. What's your excuse for not being saved? Somebody said one time, well, I don't know if God's talking to me or not. And they was trembling. They was crying under conviction. The very fact that God's speaking to you is proof he'll save you. There's no way that the God of heaven would come down and deal with you and talk to your heart and be trying to draw you to this altar prayer, and then you come down here and God laugh at your face and say, I just messing with you. I'm not going to save you. God's not like that. The very purpose of him dealing with your heart is because he loves you. He cares about you. He don't want you to be lost. He don't want you to go to hell. He wants you to be saved. Some people feel like they've just been too bad and done too many terrible things. Well, that's the kind of people Jesus comes to save. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You're the very one he came to save. In fact, Jesus taught it's really easier for a person like that to get saved many times than a person that feels they haven't done anything wrong, because they see their lost condition. Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he moved our transgressions from us. That's good news. Think about all of us that's here, that we've got saved by the grace of God. And what did he do with our sins? He cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. That's a good place for your sins. Amen. In the depths of the sea. What's your excuse? Not getting saved. My mama used to sing a song, there is no excuse if you don't know the Savior. There is no excuse if you won't let him in. It don't take education and it don't cost you a sin. There is no excuse if you're not right with God. I don't know what the excuse might be that's in the back of your mind, but whatever it is, can you imagine when you stand before the God of heaven and say, God, let me tell you why I wouldn't get saved? No excuse will stand on judgment morning. Very often, people are brought to the very door of the kingdom. They're almost saved, except for the fact there's one sin they won't give up. There's one evil practice that they have, and they're in love with it. They cherish it. And they're almost ready to get saved. They're almost persuaded to get saved. Then the thought comes, then I'll have to give up my sin. Yes, you will. But God will give you something far better than anything you have to give up. All you have to give up is junk and trash. And everything that God gives you, he said, every gift of God is, it's a good gift. It's a perfect gift. You don't have any good gifts to offer God. He's got a good gift for you. Oh, the power of one cherished yet unforgiven sin. Thousands and millions were almost in heaven, but they're in hell because there's one sin they would not give up. I had some things I didn't want to give up, but oh, I'm so glad that I did. I'm so thankful I gave those things up. I don't regret giving up sin. I don't regret giving up one of them things that had me bound. What's your excuse for not being saved? Is it because you're just a great procrastinator? You great procrastinator, going around saying tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what one day may bring forth. There are many people who are making excuses. That's the business they're in, making excuses. When a person excuses himself, it's an effort to exonerate or remove oneself from responsibility. King Agrippa was a Roman ruler who learned Paul's case while he was in prison because of the Jews. Paul shared in great detail an amazing testimony from being a Pharisee to becoming an apostle of the Gentiles. Afterward, Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. How sad! That man was almost persuaded to become a Christian, but he came up with a lousy excuse. Like many today, he was looking for a reason not to get saved. Is that you today? Are you here with an excuse of why you should remain as you are? How terrible it is to go through life making excuses of why I can't get saved. The summer is ended. The harvest is now past. And the sad thing, they said, we are still not saved. After all God has did, now he's been talking to you, you're still not saved. What's your excuse for not being saved?
Thank you again, Brother Dishman, for those sobering thoughts. Dear one, have you been thinking lately about giving your heart to God? We certainly would encourage you to do that. Time is running out on this old world, dear ones. Brother Decker, the pastor of the Church of God, would be willing and happy to speak to you, to try to help you in any way possible to find your way to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would like to, give him a call at 740 404-5519. That number for prayer would be 740-404-5519. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We want to remind you of our periodical called The Gospel Trumpeter. If you would like to have an issue of that sent to your home each month at no cost, please give us a call at that same number, 345-1213. Or for any previous issues that you would like to have, please browse our website at godsacres.org. Dear ones, today is the last day of an old-fashioned camp meeting here at Church of God, God's Acres at 675 North Cedar Street in Newark, Ohio. I trust that if you have not already been out to the camp meeting during this past week, that you will consider our 10 o'clock service this morning, and then the evening service will begin at 7 o'clock. If you need transportation for either of those services, would you give us a call at 740-345-1213. That number for transportation is 740-345-1213. I see it's time to leave again for today. But before we leave, I want to thank each and every one of you for being with us today. This is Fred Barrows inviting you to join us here again next week at this same time to the Church of God radio broadcast. Until then, dear ones, may God bless and be with each one of you is our prayer.